96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. We are just weeks away from a final report on the attendance and graduation scandal that has hit the D.C. public school system. The preliminary results of the investigation called for by D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser after several media investigations found that 113 out of 177 graduates at Ballou High School last year should not have received diplomas. Ballou teachers claim they were pressured to tamper with grades. And Dr. Yotunda Reeves is on administrative leave. She will not return as the principal of Ballou High School after June. Well, joining me in studio to discuss this further is Chancellor Antoine Wilson. Lines are open if you have a comment or a question at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Chancellor Wilson, thank you so much for agreeing to come in and talk to us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Let me first ask, is the primary problem attendance, getting students to come to school, now that you've had a chance to see this preliminary report?
Yeah, well, thank you for the opportunity to be here. We have a tremendous challenge as a community, and that is making sure that our students are attending school regularly, and that's all of them all over the city, making sure that everyone understands that students need to be in school. And we have some schools and some neighborhoods and parts of town where there are large numbers of students who miss school regularly, and that begins early in elementary school and continues and gets worse through high school.
But in this particular case, in the wake of this first report that was released on yesterday, is attendance the major issue? Was attendance the major issue at Ballou, or is there something else that that is causing this issue to blossom?
Well, I think that there are a few things that are going on. So you have a situation where school has students who miss a lot of school. We have a graduation. We have graduation requirements that we are expected to follow, and we should always follow. And in order to receive a grade, we have a policy, grading policy, that requires that students attend school. And if they miss more than 30 unexcused, have more than 30 unexcused absences in a class, then that class then ends up with a failure due to absence grade. And we had large numbers of students who did not receive that grade. And you know, that is an issue because we don't have documentation those students actually completed the work that they need, that we would expect them to complete in terms of the days that they missed. And the policy speaks to the fact that when students have excessive absences beyond what's permitted, that we should receive a grade. So the number, the scale, certainly presents a major issue, and it's something we take seriously and looking forward to resolve. And just to mention, you know, the issue extends beyond Ballou. It was the scale at Ballou was the greatest, but we have some other places that we have this issue as well.
And so where are those places?
Well, I would say there are several high schools concentrated more in our comprehensive high schools, specifically Ballou at the greatest scale. We also see concerns at Anacostia. We also see Eastern, Woodson, and Roosevelt to a lesser extent, but we are following up, try to understand what's going on there. It's important to point out, Harold, that it is possible. We have within our procedure a grading policy, a procedure where grades can be a teacher can recommend that a student still receive a passing grade. There could be extenuating circumstances that lead to that. The student could have been coming in into their regular class after school, doing their regular work, so on and so forth, and making it up. What we're finding here is that many teachers felt like they had to work with kids and therefore lower the standard for assigning the grade and assigning the credit. And we want to make sure that students know they got to be in school. And if they're going to do difficult work and they're going to struggle, we need them to struggle when they're with us. That's extremely important, and that's what we are making clear to our students. We're making clear to our parents and educators, as well as our school leaders, that it's important that the expectations are met.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking to D.C. Public Schools Chancellor Antoine Williams about the graduation and attendance issues that have been revealed as a result of a system-wide investigation. Information just released this week. If you have a question or comment, lines are open, 202-319-7810. You made an interesting point just now. You said teachers felt that they needed to lower the standard, but you're talking about, you know, Ballou, Anacostia, Roosevelt, Woodson, Eastern. This seems to be much bigger than just a handful of teachers looking at one or two students and giving them that little extra push to get them through.
Well, I think that, you know, our focus in the district is on students first. I mean, it's an extremely important value for us as a district. And with that and our strategic plan, we are focused on excellence and equity, which means that we have to have a very high bar in ensuring that our students get what they need. And in fact, the teachers who are serving our students get what they need. In this case, there was not a strong effort on the part of the district to ensure that the training directly to teachers was sufficient, and relying on school leaders. And school leaders, I was the principal, it's important to make sure that you are training teachers and providing clarity on district policy. But the district has a responsibility to do that as well. And particularly when such a significant policy is being implemented, as this policy and this work was new in 15-16, you know, the district needs to take that step to make sure as we go forward that when we have grading policies, when we have expectations, that the training goes directly to teachers, when teachers are feeling challenged, that they are clear as to what we're expecting to happen across the district, and then that everyone within in the community understands that we're going to check student transcripts directly to make sure that they've met the requirements before students are conferred a diploma.
Let me say, you know, we've heard from teachers, former teachers, current teachers, and the like, and this isn't a new thing. This has been, according to some we've spoken to, this has been going on for many, many years, not only in the D.C. public school system. One could argue that a similar thing, as you well know, is coming out of Prince George's County, probably the most egregious situation or example happened in Atlanta, Georgia, several years ago. All three of those urban school districts. You came from an urban school district. So why do you think that this is only an issue in urban school districts with black and brown children?
Well, you know, I think that there are a number of things there. I want to make sure that I say that the teachers and I can't speak for Prince George's, the teachers in Ballou and across the district, they didn't go in and change kids' grades. Mm-hmm. They did not do that. They didn't go in and say, you know, the kid earned F, I'm going to give you this. It was, we're going to give, instead of having you come in and do, because you missed the normal assignments, I give you makeup work. And that makeup work, while being relevant to the class, wasn't at the same level as what they would have gotten if they'd have been in the regular class. They, instead of holding to the attendance requirement in credit recovery at the school level, the students missed the credit recovery and they let them pass anyway. They did the work, but they did not come regularly. So, nonetheless, the standard is lower. Now, you ask why I think this happens in urban areas. Well, I think, you know, look, when I came in, I may have spoken this when I was last on the show. I think it's a manifestation of a couple things. We talk a lot about the achievement gap. Achievement gap's a manifestation of opportunity. Students being exposed to rigorous opportunities, being exposed to enriching opportunities beyond the classroom, making sure that's true in urban America, and they're not, students aren't, and teachers aren't being forced to choose between academics and social emotional supports, providing students opportunities to work beyond the classroom. And then the other is belief and a belief gap. And sometimes what I see we run into is beginning way back in early childhood, we begin to see some folks who don't believe that our kids can learn. And I just disagree with that. Our kids can read. Our kids can read on grade level. They can get the support that they need. And when we begin to look at challenges that some students have as an excuse not to educate them, not to support their families, not to ensure that they get the attention they deserve, then that can manifest later when students progress through high school in us lowering the bar, and we just can't have that.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking to D.C. Public Schools Chancellor Antoine Wilson about the Ballou situation, as well as how this appears to be a system-wide difficulty regarding graduation, particularly at some of the other schools in the district. Let me go to Keith. Keith, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling. Yeah. What's on your mind, Keith?
Good afternoon. Thank you for having this discussion.
Sure.
So I disagree with the chancellor. I'm very concerned because I think there are high percentages, and this is information that I'm getting from teachers in the system. There are high percentages of our kids who are not reading at grade level. They're not doing math at the appropriate level that they should. And this is a serious problem because if they do attend school, even if they did come to class, they're not learning what they should and they're not performing like they should. So they get a diploma that's practically useless because they may not even be able to fill out a job application. And so I'm really very concerned about the performance, and I want to find out some real solutions on how we can improve these kids' ability to perform, because they can no way compete with students from Montgomery County or Fairfax County or any of the others. They just can't compete because they just don't have the academic skills to do it.
Keith, I need you to hold on so that you can hear the chancellor's answer. I've got to take a quick break, but we are going to continue on SiriusXM Channel 141, so I want you to hear the program. Also, we're going to talk to Lene calling from Fairfax, Virginia, Kevin calling from Capitol Heights. Also, there's a Kevin calling from D.C. We'll talk to you as well. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We will be taking calls on the other side. Keep trying if you're having difficulty getting through. I promise we will take your phone call. So please stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on SiriusXM Channel 141. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. I'm talking to D.C. Public Schools Chancellor Antoine Wilson about the attendance and graduation crisis in the D.C. public school system. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We were talking to Keith. Just to piggyback on what Keith was saying, you were saying that in this particular case, teachers were not changing grades in order to allow students to graduate. They were they did not have enough attendance in class. That's kind of a distinction without a difference. The bottom line is, I would imagine that in either case, the students were not learning. And what Keith is suggesting is that these students graduated without the information and the education that the D.C.'s public school system would want them to have.
So, yeah, I mean, what I would say to you is this. I mean, when we implemented the strategic plan, I said that we would need to double the percentage of students who are college and career ready, and said we need to triple the percentage of students who are college career ready, of students of color and students at risk. Why? Because they're performing at levels that are unacceptable. So there is no disagreement between Keith and I that we don't have enough students on grade level. The distinction I made was, in Atlanta, the accusations were related to changing grades,
right,
and all
that's
that.
True.
And I wanted to be clear that that's not what the educators hear. They felt pressured to work with students despite the fact that the policy had indicated that they had missed too much school. Your larger point is accurate. Either way, that's not the standard that we have for our students going forward. That's not the standard that we want for our students. My students are in the system. My children are in the system. I want them to do the work. I want them to earn the grade. And if they're going to struggle, I want them to struggle here. I have to say this. I met with our student cabinet members on this issue. I have a student cabinet. They represent students from across the schools. And what I said to them is this. I said, you know, we have a responsibility as a school district, I as a chancellor, to ensure that when you do the work, that it prepares you. And that you can go out and get a great education and you can have the opportunity I had. What happens is this. We have large numbers of students beginning in elementary school who miss a lot of school. So it's hard to say on one hand, well, it wasn't worth my time being there. And then on the other hand, saying you didn't teach me. Well, you have to be there. And what we're seeing is that our students who come to school regularly, they are growing at higher rates. And by regularly in elementary school, that's 97% of the time. That's what we're talking about here. That's missing about 8 days of school or less. That's where we need to be at our middle schools, 10 days of school or less. High school, 13 days of school or less. We have students that are missing hundreds of days of school, and that no way is going to prepare you to be successful by any standard.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Kevin calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Kevin. What's on your mind?
I was just listening to the broadcast, mm-hmm. And instead of kind of offering a word of being negative about the whole situation, you know, I'm looking at the situation from a different point of view and looking at a point from trying to get it to a positive level. And I really do believe, Chancellor, I think that since you've started, I've worked in the D.C. school system as a support and also with it. And, you know, and I'm noticing that we have to also keep our parents accountable. Being a parent myself, I realize that that's one of the big things. And I've worked in the school system as a community support worker. And one of the things and the challenges that we always had was getting our kids to school, getting them to stay in school, getting them off the streets. And I really do believe that, you know, the concentrated effort of using more community support systems will also help with that. But I think it's going to take for the D.C. school system to be open to kind of marry a lot of those of things that can be utilized with these support programs with the DCPS system. And I think you'll start seeing that because a lot of
I think you're making an excellent point, and I appreciate your upbeat assessment of solving issues. And thank you so much for your phone call. I've got to take some other calls though, but thank you so much. And please continue to work in this school system with the administration all the way down to the children. We appreciate your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Lene calling from Fairfax, Virginia. Thanks for calling, Lene. What's on your mind?
Keith and Kevin just said exactly what I wanted to say. I mean, when I heard kids out of school 30 days, 100 days, you know, when I thought 30 days, I'm like, okay, kids are playing hooky. But 100 days, you know, it sounds more like personal. It can't be just playing hooky, but I think that the parents really are the first step. You know, when I was going through high school and white kids were crying because they got a C or B, and I'm like, you got a C or B, but they were like, no, their parents required them to get an A. I wish my parents had done that. You know, it wasn't an issue of skipping school, but our kids are floundering, you know, and they really need to be in school, you know, and the parents need to be accountable. I'd say fail them, you know. Because, you know, if you go on to college, you know, you can't do the work. Then you get into your job field and you can't do the work. So kids need to be there, but I think it really starts with the parents.
Lene, thank you.
And whatever kind of help that the parents need, you know, churches, you know, volunteers, tutors. You know, I thought of, you know, to help lower college costs, if we could get those graduates to volunteer to tutor in school to lower their loans, that's an idea, a great help. So
okay.
We got to do something.
Well, Lene, thank you so much. That's a kind of a difficult pill to swallow, although we've heard a lot of folks say that as well over the – whenever these kinds of things come up, where she said, you know, if you're not in school and we can't get you in school, or if you're not making the grade, even if you are in school, do you give them an F?
Well, I think that it's extremely important that we ensure that the grade means you learned.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the day, if you don't do any learning, then we have to give you the grade that you earned. So I just think that it's important that we recognize, and in D.C. when we talk about excellence, equity, and putting students first, it means that we also don't give up on children. And that means that if you didn't learn it this time, failure is a part of life. Now's the time to teach you that lesson. And then let's come in and provide you additional supports. It doesn't mean now that we didn't necessarily fail you, because if you earned it, you earned it. It is that now we're there to give you a second opportunity, a way to move forward. And that way needs to be rigorous. It needs to demonstrate that you've learned the material. But it also should communicate to students that when you struggle, that the place to go get help is with the adults. Finally, I do want to say that it is important that we partner with families and all of that. And we always make sure that families understand that when you miss, you have to make it up. And if you don't make it up, then it affects your grade. It affects students' outcomes, because I don't want students to go to their place of work, and certainly pursuing a career, which that's what we want for our students, to pursue a career, whatever it be, and find out that when they miss excessive days, unexcused, they lose their job. That's not the way to learn that lesson. The way to learn accountability is when you're with us here in the school district, when you're young. And we're prepared to do the work that we need to do to make sure that our students are getting that support, but also the clear message that being in school is important.
Let me read to you something that a former teacher said to me. She wrote to me. She said, "Where do you think the pressure comes from for administration and staff to change grades?" And she spoke about changing grades, but I would venture to say to do whatever it takes to get these students to graduate, which is what she's talking about. She goes on to say everything in public education is political. Success is based on numbers and percentages in the school system. Oftentimes, principals are held accountable and their jobs are on the line when they have low graduation rates, attendance, state test scores, etc. Then she puts in, look up impact. These teachers, as was mentioned in the press conference yesterday, felt that they were pressured by administrators to make sure that these students got their diplomas, whether they earned them or not. Do you believe that the administration, your administration, the leadership needs to take a hard look at how how success is incentivized for teachers?
Well, you know, I think, again, as we are going to make sure that our students are successful, I mean, because the alternative of our students not being successful, we understand what that is. I mean, we have students who go on later in life and they have struggles that we don't want them to have. Well, if our students are going to be successful, it means our teachers are successful. It means our school leaders are successful. So when I came into the district, and I want to be clear, a lot of this didn't start with me. I just came in and I said that we need to make sure that we're empowering our people. We need to make sure that we're investing in them, that we are making sure that we're training them. And then as we continue to make improvements to our evaluation system, that we are ensuring that that process is about growth and development, and that that's the way people feel. They feel it's focused on growth and development. So that's what we're focused on. Now, to your question around pressure, I think that it's really important to recognize this, that it is a fact of life that we are goal-oriented. Families and people set goals all the time in all types of industries. So in the medical industry, you don't think they have goals around saving lives? You don't think they have goals around doing what needs to be done to make sure that you get better? But they also have standards as to what they're supposed to follow to get that done. The same is true in education. We can't set goals, and we can't not have goals and say, well, you know, it wasn't our fault. Well, there's nothing we can do if kids didn't learn. What we have to make sure, though, is that we're also, as we're pursuing those goals, that our educators understand what our values are, that we have means for those educators to communicate concerns when they feel like they're being told to do something that goes against those values, when they feel that pressure is creating a situation where they don't know what to do and then therefore are being made to feel like they have to lower standard. You can have high expectations, you can have goals, and you can do it in a way that people are able to uphold their integrity and receive the support they need. And that's what we're focused on.
But certainly, let us be realistic, because, yes, we can have standards, we can have goals, and we want every student to get straight A's. But every community is not created equally. It does not develop equally. It does not have the community resources that, you know, the resources that are that we see on the Gold Coast off of 16th Street in those communities, not in the schools, but in those communities, are different from the ones that we see, you know, off of Malcolm X Avenue or Alabama Avenue, Mississippi Avenue. These are two totally different communities. Is it fair to have if a teacher teaches at a Ballou or a Woodson and is a fantastic teacher but still struggles with getting those students to achieve and then is penalized and then she goes uptown using the same skills that she brought to those same schools and does better because those are high achieving areas and she is rewarded? Is that fair?
Well, what I would say is, Harold, we have teachers using the same standard that are scoring very high on their performance ratings across all of our wards. And with our teachers specifically, in this investigation we are at, we have two schools. There's a piece within the evaluation accounts for less than 2% of the total evaluation. It relates to the alignment with school with a school culture, mm-hmm. If you will. It's mm-hmm. less than 2% of the evaluation. And there were two schools in there that had something in there related to attendance and grades, as I understand it. The rest of the schools don't do that. And we will be providing guidance around that because I don't believe that that makes sense. But otherwise, this particular piece as relates to grades and attendance and that type of thing is divorced from impact specifically. Now, to your larger question mm-hmm. around fairness, that is something that we need to make sure is true. We need to make sure that we don't have a teacher who is knocking it out of the park in one part of town, going to a community where students have greater needs, and then finding, well, all of a sudden we're saying they're not a good teacher. That is a concern. That is the part of the works. One of the reasons why we talked about promoting equity, one of the reasons why we talked about empowering our people in our strategic plan and putting more supports, because we can't create disincentives for people to go, our most talented educators to go into schools that need them the most.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. When we come back, we're going to talk to Kirk in Lanham, Kevin in Capitol Heights, and CJ in Northeast. We continue this conversation in just a bit.
The 90s.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our conversation with D.C. Public Schools Chancellor Antoine Wilson about the graduation crisis at Ballou High School and beyond. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Chancellor, Channel 7, WJLA, interviewed the former principal, Dr. Yotunda Reeves. And this is what she had to say today. I'd like for you, if you could, to react to this.
I don't pass or fail students. I'm not a teacher. And I do believe that all students were held to a standard. I don't believe I did anything wrong. Are there some things that we could have improved? Absolutely. I don't want to be the only person that's linked to a citywide systematic issue. I think everybody has some accountability. And I don't want to use the word blame because that implies punishment. We all are accountable.
Did she do something wrong?
Well, I would say that it's important that we make sure that our students are graduating with the highest of standards. I think it's important that when that doesn't happen, that we address that. And I think it's important to recognize that school leadership has a role to play. The district has a role to play. One of the things that I did here when I started this school year, coming into the school year as a result of going into schools, listening to people, hearing about some of the challenges, is I changed the org structure and brought in two deputy chancellors. And I knew I needed someone to coordinate our efforts across our academic departments to begin to create some of the structures that we want to see. There's been a tremendous progress that has happened along the way, but even though we've had that tremendous progress, we recognize that with 32% of our students reading on grade level, which is, although leading in terms of the state overall in terms of English language arts, it's well short of where we need to be. So I knew I needed that. I knew I needed a deputy chancellor over innovation and systems improvement. I needed to have someone who was...
If I may, you say systems improvement. What does that mean?
Well, what that means is making sure that our work in our talent office what is meeting the needs of our schools. It means making sure that our budgeting systems align to the challenges that our schools have. It means making sure that the rules that we say we're going to follow, the policies that we put out, that we have documentation and that we're inspecting that work. And we have systems for knowing in real time, because oftentimes what you hear, or at least as I was going out, is, you know, it takes a long time to get this information, or we can't get that. And at the school level, what it means is that things happen slowly. So I don't have anything directly to say as it relates to Principal Reeves. I will say that it is important that we position our schools to be successful as possible. It is important that our teachers get training directly from the district, as well as the school leaders. And it is important also that when we take on leadership positions in schools, that we do what we need to do to make sure that that the policies that are put forth in the district are upheld, and that when there are issues, that we address them quickly. And I want to be clear that we've just started. We have the OSCE investigation. Mm-hmm. We're doing our own as well. And we're not done. And as we learn more and as we get all the information, I continue to make decisions that need to be made.
Speaking of making those decisions, if similar situations are found at those schools that you mentioned, Eastern, Anacostia, Roosevelt, Woodson, or any others, will you remove the leadership there, principals, vice principals?
Well, I will start off doing the same thing that did here, and I'm going to give the benefit of the doubt until I learn otherwise. And then as I learn otherwise, I will act accordingly. It is important to make sure that the standard is upheld. Now, that being the case, I also want to make sure that we aren't saying that it's impossible for some students to have done the work they needed to do to be successful. We just want to make sure that documentation is there as well.
Kevin calling from... Oh, that's Kirk. I'm sorry. Kirk calling from Lanham. What's on your mind?
Yes, I think that we need to stop putting all this blame and accountability on the school system, and we need to hold parents accountable, because unless your child is sick, how does your child miss 40 and 100 days of school? And also, it's too many parents that are not making sure, doing their job, to make sure that their children are ready for school when they enter kindergarten or preschool, and then they're not reinforcing what is being taught. And as far as letting these children graduate that shouldn't have graduated, or doing this thing called social promotion, many times these children are disruptors, and I don't have a problem with just letting them graduate, because why hold them back another year for them to harass other students and antagonize teachers and the administration? I mean, if you hold them back another year, that's all they're going to do. They're not going to learn anything, so let them go.
Thank you, Kirk. He makes an interesting point. What about those disruptors? Because not every student who is not coming to school or is not doing well in school is a disruptor. They are just students with struggles. But then you have those others that are being disrespectful to teachers, some would argue, you know, threatening them, you know, the whole bit. How do you deal with those that are making it difficult for all of the other students?
So, Harold, if you will, I'd like to start with the big picture and then try to drill
down.
Okay. So as a district, we have a vision of where we want to be and where we're trying to go over the course of the next 5 years. Mm-hmm. That is quite simple. We want to be a district where students feel loved, challenged, and prepared. Okay, we want that for every student in every school every day. Now, we recognize that some students come to us with tremendous challenges. Many of them, when they're young, not of their own making. So, what do we do? Well, we have to be a district that meets students where they are, provides the supports that they need. And while we do that, keeping upholding safe environments for all the other students as well. So we have to do both. That's the responsibility of public education. Our educators understand that and will take that on. Now, that being said, it is important to recognize that some students are going to need to be educated in a different environment. Sometimes they need different types of schools. And the mistake sometimes we make in public education is we try to get all students to fit through the paradigm that we came through, the structure we came through that worked for us, not recognizing that sometimes students need smaller learning environments. They need additional supports. All students need additional social-emotional supports where the teacher in the classroom environment is taking care of their academic, their social, their emotional needs. But some students need that environment to be even smaller. They need additional supports in because they need help with self-regulation. They need help understanding that when they're angry, which is a natural thing to be, that it's not appropriate to disrupt, to hit, to fight, and all of that. Because if that's been modeled for them, if that's been some students, that has been something they've seen regularly, how do they learn that that's not okay? Well, I would say they learn that at school. I would say they learn that with the support of other adults who can come into their lives. I believe they learn that through mentoring. And I believe it's our responsibility not to give up those young people and help them, because those young people are going to be adults, and we would like for them to be productive adults.
Kevin from Capitol Heights, what's on your mind, Kevin?
Yeah, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call. One thing I would like to address, you mentioned evaluations. I'm pretty sure you know there's a lot of teachers who have been let go from unfair evaluations based on a lot of nepotism. So what are you and your administration planning on doing to address that and to even bring some of those teachers back? Because a lot of those teachers who have left was a lot of black males. So are you planning to address that situation in any way?
Yeah, so thank you for your question. Our effort is to, one, make sure that as we continue to do the work to improve our evaluation, which has been verified by some independent studies as increasing student learning by 4 to 5%. So it is working in terms of increasing student achievement, but we also need to make sure as it's working that educators feel like that it's a system that is helping them develop, helping them grow, and that's what the focus is. And so I have heard complaints about from some people who feel like it was used other than that, it was used against them. And that's why it's important for us to, as we learn about this investigation, as we get the information from here, as we get information from our teachers, I spent a lot of time in schools meeting directly with faculty. I've been doing this for several years and have been doing it since this has happened, hearing directly from them, and we will use that to inform their work. Now, we in our strategic plan called out, as we talked about empowering our educators, that we needed to have pipelines that increased access to educators of color, male educators of color specifically, and then also educators who speak more than one language. We believe that both are in need, and we are going to make sure that that work is uplifted so that our students are exposed to role models across races, across backgrounds, but certainly we want to make sure that our males of color and also our females of color, they see that they can be successful. And the more of them that are from D.C. and the area, the better for us, because that helps them see that that it's possible for them.
But you, and to your point, you weren't here, but I think the thing that Kevin is also talking about is, and you know, you made reference to this in your own comments in the press conference. When these teachers were let go, not all of them were black males. And the issue, I think the overarching issue, is that some of these teachers were veterans, not old, but they were veterans. They knew the community. They knew the kids. Some of these kids would come to school because of these teachers. And there were so many veteran teachers, and I had veteran teachers, and you know, those old school teachers with institutional knowledge and the same kind of coming from the same kind of cultures and backgrounds were very instrumental. Those teachers are gone. And I think, you know, that's part of what Kevin is talking about.
Well, I it's hard for me to come in and say what happened. I wasn't here. I can say I do come across educators who have been here for long periods of time who are doing that right now. I was meeting a teacher today at Tacoma, been there 27 years, making a huge difference. They wanted to make sure that I had an opportunity to see her today. Didn't get a chance to see her teach, but just made her acquaintance. I will say that we need effective teachers. We need teachers who can ensure students learn. And yes, we need teachers who are going to build relationships with kids, who are going to help young people understand that I love you, and it's because I love you that I challenge you. I'm going to make sure you know it. And yeah, I would like some Miss Thurmans. I'd like some people who were like my first grade teacher who made it clear that I've spoken to your mother and she told me to send you home with this and this extra reading. And when you come back, if you don't do what you're supposed to do, I'm going to give you more work. The expectation is you meet my standard. I think that students need that level of expectation. I think the students, when they know you love them that way, you challenge that way, you're going to prepare them. They'll go through walls for you. And that's what we are trying to build here in our district. I understand the frustration that some people have. They feel like that those educators are gone. We want to create a place where our teachers, when we get them hired, we develop them better than everyone else. We keep them, we put them in a position where they want to stay. We try to find ways to promote them within their teaching profession. And we are creating opportunities for them to want to choose some of our most challenging schools, because we know that we have amazing students in our schools all over the city, and they just need educators who are going to pour love, belief, and hope into them and make sure that when they need help, they get it.
I want to thank you, Chancellor Wilson, for, again, coming in, talking to us. Certainly, this is a critical time for the D.C. public school system, for the teachers, for the administrators, and certainly for the children and the communities where they come from. I don't think it's overreaching to say that these children are certainly depending on, you know, you and by extension the school system as a whole. So I will say sincerely, good luck, sir.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. That is the Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141 for this Wednesday, January 17th, 2018. I'm Harold Fisher. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now, stay tuned for The Connection with Lorna Newton. Good night.
The Howard University.